Well, I got 10 minutes. What do you want to say? I remember a preacher told me one time, he said, remember when you go to the pulpit, he said 20, but he says, you've got 20 minutes, what are you going to say? So, we have 10. I'm going to tell you the opening story and read you my conclusion. That's the best part, right? If you would take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament. Isaiah and then Jeremiah. Page 704 in your Holman Christian Standard leather-bound Bibles. Which, if you don't have one, you should get one soon. No. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, a very familiar verse. I thought to myself as I prepared for this sermon, knowing that we would have our senior recognition, if I was to talk to a senior class or a group of seniors or even just one, what would I say? And this is it. Not this verse per se, this is the message, but what I would say is following that. So, seniors, I'm talking to you, the four of you that are here, and the rest of you may just listen in if you would like. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. For my people have committed a double evil. They have abandoned me, the fountain of living water, and dug cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that cannot hold water. Let's pray. Father, we need to know what this means. It's your scripture, it's your word, it's important, and you gave it to us, and because it's true, we want this morning to understand it so that we can apply it to our lives and live it. So help that to happen this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Some years ago, I went on a mission trip to Mexico City. And you fly into Mexico City. It's way down in kind of a valley. There's mountains all around. It's kind of foggy. And it wasn't as a tourist. It was as someone going to do work. In this case, it was concrete work. And my task was to take a group of, I think it was 11 with me. There was 12 total. And we were pouring a concrete floor in a church where they were meeting on a dirt floor in the city, in town. And our task was to pour 2.5 inches thick, 9 foot square sections of concrete all around this floor, 2.5 inches thick. And matter of fact, the gravel that they brought us was about 2.5 inch gravel. So we took hammers and we had to break up the stones and make them smaller to get them to trowel in. We'd be troweling out concrete with 2.5 inch stones and they'd be sticking up out of the concrete. We'd be hammering them down to the ground as we went. But what I remember most about that concrete was we mixed our own. We didn't call ready mix, and we mixed it in the street. We'd walk out and we'd take sand and make a big donut with the sand, and then we'd dump the mortar or the cement powder on top of that, and then we would start carrying water and dumping it in the middle of that donut. And we got our water from a tank that was in the ground inside the church, and it was called a cistern. And the cistern was fed by a little tiny half-inch copper pipe that ran from the city. And sometimes the pipe ran, and sometimes it did not. On our third day of pouring concrete, we emptied the cistern. We were out of water. And we pondered, what shall we do? Well, we can't call the city. The pipe's either on or it isn't. And we saw the guy going by on his bicycle with these big blue jugs of water. And he was going down the street going, agua! Agua, you know, water. We thought we could buy water. And we're looking at his cart and we thought, man, pouring concrete takes a lot of water. We realized we couldn't do that. And so we waited. And that day, the little pipe came on and began to refill that cistern. But we fought that whole week, the pouring of concrete, because the cistern didn't have enough water in it. And this passage says that the people of God committed a grave evil because they abandoned the fountain of living water, that source of water that never fails and never ends. They abandoned that and they went to a source that seems to be constantly drying up, a cistern. And I want you to understand, seniors, the difference between a cistern and a fountain, because it makes all the difference in your life as you make decisions, as you pursue your life's direction, as you make choices about pleasure and pain in your life. And seniors, if you find the fountain, the true source, the fountain, it will never, ever dry up for the rest of your life. You will be laying on your deathbed with a smile on your face because the fountain is inside of you. If you dig a cistern and you try to store up waters that become stale and foul and smelly, it will constantly run out on you. So what does that mean? What are we talking about here? Both a fountain and a cistern, in a sense, hold water. A fountain holds it in that it's in some reservoir or valve or pipe in the ground. The picture on the screen, that's actually the Old Faithful. Wherever that is, it's out there and it spews up every now and then. 3 to 7,000 gallons, I guess, every, couple minutes or an hour, whatever it is. But even that water is held somewhere in a reservoir. A fountain has a channeling about it. Because of the channel that is in a fountain, the water is directed. A cistern is just a container. A fountain is about the source. The source of a fountain, where the water comes from, makes it refreshing and cool. A cistern is just about a collection. A fountain is about purity. The water comes from a place that's constantly refreshed. Even artesian wells that are water pressure under the ground that just come out of the ground all the time, it's a fresh, ongoing source of water. A cistern is about stagnation. The water rests in there and there might be bugs or mold or, you know, it just would get warm and not good to drink. A fountain is deep and refreshing. A cistern is shallow and residual. A fountain is moving and flowing and changing. A cistern is stationary. A fountain is constant. And a cistern is temporary. And the decision that you are faced with in your life right now, and the decision that you will face as you live your life, is which trajectory will you choose? Will you pursue the fountain? Channeling, purity, deep and refreshing, moving, flowing, and constant? Or will you pursue the cistern, just a container of stagnation that's temporary and shallow? In your life, you will either develop from the fountain, a fountain that springs up inside of you, or you will develop a collection of temporary refreshments that always leave you hanging. Far more people in life, far more people around you choose the cistern. Far more people are always choosing temporary refreshment rather than the fountain that's the source of life. Matthew 7:13 says that the way to destruction is wide and many find it, but the path to God is narrow and few there be that find it. If you choose the fountain over the cistern, you're choosing with the minority. John 4, chapter 13, Jesus was talking to the woman who was at a well. And he said, "Everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water that I give him will never get thirsty again, ever. In fact, the water that I give him will become a well of water springing up within him for eternal life." And by the way, that's our text for tonight. What does it mean to have a fountain inside of you that springs up to eternal life? Come back at 6:30 and get that answer. I want that, whatever that is. We'll talk about that more tonight. I want that. I want that fountain in my life. I want to know what that water is. In the passage in Jeremiah, in the Hebrew, there's two words that we're contrasting. One is fountain, one is cistern. Fountain is makor, is the Hebrew word, and makor is a fountain or a spring. Rarely it was referring to a well, but it became to be a figure of speech known for happiness and joy and was always used in the positive sense. A fountain of refreshment. The word for cistern is bor. If you were to write it in English, it would be B-O-R, bor. And it was a cistern or a hole in the ground or a pit. It was used to refer to a dungeon, a pit, or a grave. In Psalm chapter 24, verse 1, David says, "I have gone down into the pit." Discouragement, despair, depression. The word is bor in the Hebrew. He went down into that pit. The word almost always has, when it's not referring to a physical cistern, it has a negative connotation. And so the choice that you have as seniors, as graduates, as those who will make choices for the rest of your life is, am I going to pick the fountain or am I going to pick the cistern? Number one, I think the passage tells us that we must know the true source of satisfaction. You must know the true source of satisfaction. This verse tells us that the people have abandoned me. God is talking. God says, "You have abandoned me. I am the fountain of living water." Refreshment is meant in that. And the answer that Jesus said, and when he talked to the woman at the well, is if you drink of this water, it springs up into a fountain. It's an easy answer to give. And if I said to you, seniors, where do you find your satisfaction? Where do you find your joy? You know the answer. All of you would probably say, oh, Jesus, God, my relationship with Him. The problem is, how do you make that head knowledge, make the 12-inch journey down to your heart? How do you live that? And it might sound easy to say, oh yes, I find my source of satisfaction in God. And we say that and we know that, but we put it into practice and the rubber meets the road. We make choices that violate that all the time. Every time you sin, you say, I choose my way and I don't want to drink from the fountain. So the first thing that you must know is you must know the source of satisfaction. And I promise you, the Word of God promises you, God says it, your source of satisfaction in life is Me. Psalm 16:11, I preached on that last summer, says, You reveal life, talking about God. Your presence is joy, and in Your right hand are pleasures forevermore. We're all pleasure seekers, you know that. In God's right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalms 36 verse 9 says, speaking of God, You are the fountain of life. Psalm 68 verse 26, bless God, even the Lord of Israel, who's the fountain of Israel, the one who brings a constant supply of refreshment. Seniors, we take it for granted. We take it for granted that you cognitively know that God is the source of your satisfaction. You know it in your minds. But you have to live it out and learn it practically. And sometimes you do that by the testimony shared by those around you, by your pastor Josh, by your parents, by your pastor. And sometimes you learn that by making the wrong choice and doing the wrong thing. And you find that that which you thought was pleasurable or satisfaction seeking was not what you thought. You will constantly be tempted in your life to short-circuit the path to pleasure and satisfaction. You will. You'll be tempted in your life to have something that takes money to buy. You will short-circuit that thing for pleasure, and instead of working and earning and buying, you will borrow money or use a credit card when you shouldn't. You will be tempted in your dating relationship to short-circuit that path to pleasure and satisfaction, to take something that's not yours before you're married. You'll be tempted through your life to short-circuit the path to pleasure and satisfaction. Number two, you must grow a thirst for true satisfaction. You must grow a thirst for true satisfaction. Jeremiah says that they have abandoned me. Not only have they abandoned the fountain of living water, they've dug cisterns for themselves that can't hold water. You've abandoned the source of joy and gone for that which cannot. You have to grow a thirst for satisfaction. You can grow immune to stale water or stale faith, can't you? You can be drinking scummy water for so long you don't know it anymore. I think there was an article in the paper this week. I might have saw it in the news. I don't remember. But I think the police were called out to a house where the neighbors were complaining of a foul and offensive odor. And I guess they went in there and they had to go back and get their hazmat suits and come back with gas masks on and put fans in the windows. I guess somebody was breeding chinchillas and what else was it? And guinea pigs. And the stench in the house was almost numbing. And they went in with hazmat suits on and rescued 122 chinchillas and guinea pigs in this house. And the ammonia was almost intolerable. How could someone live in that house? They had grown immune to it. Oh, sure, they noticed it was somewhat offensive in the house, but most of us walking in would just be hit with a wall of ammonia and smell. But they lived in it and they were immune to it. And in your quest for satisfaction and pleasure in God and pleasure in life, you can grow immune to the very thing that helps you find it. You can find yourself being numbed by other foul things in life. You can lose your spiritual thirst. That is very dangerous. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Pray for that. I prayed it this morning for God to open our eyes. We sing the song because we know we need it. I pray for it in my own life. God, open my eyes. Give me a thirst for You. Give me a hunger for You. Give me that which I'm supposed to have. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, You will find Him,
when you seek Him with all your heart. Seek Him with all your heart.
And if it changes the color of your hair, so be it. As long as it's not purple. Jesus, on the last day of a feast in John chapter 7, stood up in the feast and He cried out, "If anyone's thirsty, he should come to Me and drink. And the one who believes in Me, as the Scripture said, will have streams of living water that flow from deep within." When you learn to drink at the fountain that God has, the fountain of eternal life, the fountain of the truth of the Word of God, it develops inside of you a fountain that continues to feed itself and replenish itself. It tends to grow. And did you ever prime a fountain? I don't know if any of you have, but if you prime it, you got the pump running and there's no water there, and you put a little water in and the pump grabs a little bit and you might get one little spurt out the top, and then you put some more water in and then it begins to flow and you put more and more water. And as you put that water in, the fountain begins to flow and it begins to recirculate. But then it evaporates and the birds take a few drinks and the squirrels and maybe the dog, and you've got to put that water back in there and you have to replenish that fountain, but it becomes a fountain that turns and runs and flows continually. In your life, you must never lose your quest to quench your spiritual thirst. And if you don't have it, you should plead for God to make you thirsty once again. Maybe one right now says, "I'm not very thirsty for God. I can kind of take it or leave it." How scary. Say, "God, I know I'm not thirsty. Forgive me. Give me a thirst for the Word of God." By the way, when it comes to the Word of God and the things of God, the more you drink, the more thirsty you are, the more you're quenched by that thirst that drives you back to it. Number three, in this passage, there is woe for walking away from satisfaction. The Bible says, "My people have committed a double evil." They've done two bad things, not one, two. This is the people of God. These are people that knew that God was the source of satisfaction. They watched Him part the Red Seas. They watched Him bring manna for 40 years. They watched their shoes and clothes not wear out. They watched God destroy their enemies in front of them in miraculous ways like we have never seen. There are people that watch God heal the sick and raise up those who were around Him. These were people that saw that. Not only did they walk away from that satisfaction, but they pursued that which could never supply. They committed two evils. It seems like the Bible would validate that it is worse to walk away from the truth than it is to never know it. Matthew 11, 22-24, you can read that if you want to, but Jesus is talking about people that would not respond to the gospel. And He says, your judgment will be worse when the judgment day comes. It'll be worse for you because you heard it and you did not respond. It'll be better for you than Sodom and Gomorrah, because if they would have heard the gospel, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. And these people in this passage have committed a double evil. Beloved seniors, it is worse for you to walk away than to never know it. Don't walk away. Satisfy that thirst. Pursue God. If not, God will be your adversary. We don't like to think of God like that. We like to think of as the loving God who only brings me good things and nothing bad could ever happen. Well, the Bible talks of a God who is the adversary of those who defy Him. In Hosea 13, verses 15 and 16, although he flourishes among his brothers, an east wind will come, a wind from the Lord rising up from the desert. And his water source will fail, and his spring will run dry. And the wind will plunder the treasury of every precious item. And Samaria will bear her guilt because she has rebelled against God. And we don't like to hear it, but it's true that God pursues. God has hardship. God dries up the fountain of those who seek other than Him. God does that proactively. And He does it to call us back. The best thing that could happen to you is if you walk away from God, that He would come after you and discipline you back into His favor. God will be your adversary if you walk away. Number two, your own sin will be your punishment. Your own sin will be your punishment. Jeremiah 2:19, just a few verses down, says, "Your own evil will discipline you, and your own apostasies will reprimand you. Think it over and see how evil and bitter it is for you to abandon the Lord your God to have no fear." I think of Romans 1, and God says, if you want to sin like that, God gave them over to the sins they wanted to commit. If you pursue a path of satisfaction apart from God, if it's evil and wicked, God may give you the very thing that you want because it's the wrong thing. And that will be your punishment. How many people have sinned and erred grievously in the presence of the Lord, and their sin was their punishment and the fallout and the magnanimous consequences that came with that grievous sin? The Bible says, woe for walking away from satisfaction. First, God will be your adversary. Your sin will be your punishment. And then Jeremiah 17 says, Lord, the hope of Israel, all who abandon you will be put to shame. And all who turn away from me will be written in the dirt, for they have abandoned the fountain of living water. I think the Bible would teach us that someone that can walk away from their faith, someone who can abandon the fountain of living water, never drank from it in the first place. When the Bible says in Jeremiah 17, your name will be written in the dirt, the figurative contrast here is as opposed to one whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Written in the dirt is written in the dust of the earth, in the dirt of the earth, that which will perish. And if you can walk away from a source of God, if you can walk away from the fountain of living water, which is the Lord, you never were drinking at the fountain in the first place. And so the Bible has warnings in it. And the Bible says, don't walk away. Don't give it up. Because if you walk away from the fountain of living water, your name will be written in the dirt. Not that it's taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life, but that it was never in. Woe to walking away from satisfaction. Do not mistake the fountain of living water. Do not replace it with a cistern. Don't collect around you those things that will never satisfy. Find your satisfaction in God, His Word, the truth of His Word, your relationship with Him. Do not leave the fountain for a reservoir. This passage is about the source of true life. And the source of true life is in a relationship with Jesus Christ. The source of life is Christ Himself, Christ in God. If the source of your joy is anything else, it will leave you empty. Somebody said one time, as he was talking to Jim, and he said, Jim, I have one desire. I want to live a life of reckless abandon to Christ. I intend to put all my energies into that. And the man who said that was Ed McCulley, and Ed McCulley got his wish because he put all of his energies, all of his desires into what he thought was God's plan for his life, which was to fly an airplane down to the Alka Indians and reach them with the gospel, and he got his wish. He put all of his energy into that. He abandoned himself for Christ and gave his life to reach those people. And those people have been reached, by the way. Many thousands have been converted. His source of joy was his relationship with God, the fountain of true life, and everything else became meaningless to him. Seniors, God is the source of life and joy. God is the source of life and joy. When you drink from the source, it will be a fountain that springs up inside of you. If God is not the source of your life and of your joy, you will spend the rest of your life in a perpetual state of oncoming famine. So what's it going to be? Feast or famine? Drink from the true source. Drink from the fountain that springs up inside of you for eternal life and refreshes you forever, no matter what your outside circumstances are. Let's pray. Father, we are, I hope, at least humble enough to say, you need to teach us to be thirsty for good water. Father, I pray for each one here this morning. I pray for myself. I pray for these seniors. Father, teach them to quench their thirst at the fountain of living water. Father, may those things that displease you, may finding our pleasure and satisfaction elsewhere, may it leave a bitter taste in our mouth, and may we not go back to those sources. Teach us where to drink, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a closing song, and if God has prompted you to make any decision this morning, you can do that at this time. If you don't know Christ, if you're not drinking from the fountain of living water, you can this morning. We can talk more about that. If you would like to be a member of this church, you could come and talk to me about that.